Alright, hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of the Gamer Heroes podcast. I am one of your hosts, Derek, and I have my co-host, John, with me.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Episode 2, you made it. Level 2.
Level 2, yeah, that's right, level 2. We called the first episode level 1 because we kind of didn't have a central topic other than introducing ourselves, but... alright, so we have a... So David is our third host. If you listened to episode 1, you caught David. David was unable to join us for this week's episode, so he'll be back next week for episode 3. So stay tuned for that.
He called hooky on us. He just wanted to watch the Nintendo presentation by himself and talk about it. That's what it is.
So that's actually what we're going to be talking about. So for those who don't know, Japan just had their big Nintendo Switch event in Tokyo. It aired at 11 p.m. Eastern time here in North America. And this was the big presentation to tell us everything we need to know about the Switch. And we're going to talk about why that's partly true, because we didn't get all the answers that we wanted. But we got a lot of answers.
Yeah, I'd say we got most answers. Well, why don't you start it out, Derek? What do we got?
All right, so let's get the easy things out of the way, kind of the way they did. So first up, it releases on March 3rd, 2017, basically everywhere. If you're getting the console, it pretty much launches on March 3rd. That's Japan, North America, Europe, other parts of Asia. Yeah. Now, the pricing is interesting because there were a lot of rumors about the price, everyone wondering what the price point was going to be. We heard some high numbers, some insanely low numbers, and pretty much everyone was saying it was going to come in at 25,000 yen, which was a little low because that's about $219 in the United States. Officially, it will be 29,980 yen, which comes out to $299.99 here in the United States.
U.S. dollars.
So yeah. $300.
Which is pretty standard for given the type of consoles we have these days and the hardware that it's supposed to have, which that's one thing I was kind of disappointed to I didn't hear anything about hardware.
I mean, we did see a game playing on the Unreal Engine 4.
Right.
You know, so we saw that and we got an idea of some of the battery life, which we'll talk about. And we know kind of what chip is in it. It's an NVIDIA chip. So we know some of the hardware stuff.
I'm sure they're going to release all of those specs and details as soon as their website comes back up because it's getting slammed right now.
A little bit.
That's exciting. $299 is what I expected. I had my fingers crossed the whole time while they were, right before they announced, I was like, under 300, because I feel to me that for what they're offering is, especially, like you said, bringing in the NVIDIA card and having higher end hardware, you know, $300 is right. That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the PS4 and the Xbox One both launched, they were $400. In fact, the Xbox One was $500 initially because it included the Kinect. Then they split that off so you could save $100. So this one comes in $100 under what those launched at. But that's pretty typical. I mean, the Wii U was originally $299 as well.
Yeah.
The Wii was cheaper, but the Wii was also not even an HD.
What was it, $199?
I think the Wii initially was either $199 or $249. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember
now.
No,
I think it was $249.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been almost basically a decade.
It's crazy.
You know, so.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that was in November 2006. So here it is, March 3rd at $299.99 in the United States. And there will be two versions released. Now, these versions are basically the same. It was just, you get different color Joy-Con controllers. So the Joy-Con are the little left and right controllers that hook into the sides of the actual Switch tablet console or to the Joy-Con grip, so you can use those and you can play with them separately.
Which are included, which is a very nice feature.
The grip, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really nice. The thing I liked about the grip specifically was it slides on to the edge of the Joy-Con, right? But it has these, the way he described it particularly was like, for people who want to press harder, the buttons, believe it or not, the Joy-Con actually has little buttons on where it slides in there. There are the shoulder pads.
Yeah, those are the shoulder buttons.
Those are really cool. So, like I said, they use the, they took advantage of that.
Yeah. So basically one release will have everything will be gray. And then the other release will have one of the Joy-Cons that will be neon blue and the other will be neon red, are the two colors. And so, you know, they'll be the exact same price. It's the exact same console. There's no different hard drive sizes like the Wii U had. This is one console, but you can get either bright color Joy-Cons or gray Joy-Cons.
And frankly, we're just going to take what we can get.
Yeah, I don't really care. I think it looks fine either way. I mean, right. the gray is nice and sleek.
Yeah, yeah.
But the colored ones are kind of nice because you can differentiate them a little bit quicker, which, you know, that's fine. You know, they're not identical because one goes on the left and one goes on the right. So they're not literally the same. They're opposites of each other. So, all right. So let's actually go into a little bit of what's going to just straight up come in the box. Let's just get that out of the way. So you talked about how it came with the Joy-Con grip.
Right.
Right. So, do you want to tell us some of the other stuff that's in the box?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty excited.
You took better notes than me. Yours are more legible. So.
Well, you've got more written down, but, yeah, I mean, we're going to get a docking station. We're going to get a, what did they call that? Charge, it's the little stand thing that you slide the Joy-Cons onto.
That's the dot. Oh, the Joy-Cons slide. That's the grip. That's the Joy-Con grip.
There's an actual stand that they put. I forget what the actual name was, and that's my bad.
The thing that the Joy-Cons attach to, so it's one controller?
maybe that's what it is.
That's what that is. That's the grip. Yeah.
So the grip.
Which comes in the box. Right. That's not an additional thing, because as someone who owned both the Wii and the Wii U, those little extra plastic accessories for every controller were great, but you had to buy all of them.
Yeah.
And so it got really expensive. Every little piece was, you know, $10 here, $20 there. And so I like that the Joy-Con grip comes in the box, because it's your primary way that people are going to be playing is with it, with the Switch in the docking station, playing on the TV, sitting on the couch with your Joy-Cons and the grip.
Right. Well, and something that's pretty standard now is they're including an HDMI cable, which is nice.
Yeah.
I feel like I said, it's pretty much standard now ever since the PS4 and the Xbox One. They started including those things. They included headphones and stuff like that. You know, just a little extra things that I feel are more tailored towards their fans.
Now, I will say this one does not come with any headphones.
It does not.
And they actually didn't say, they did say they've got this whole new online service, which we'll talk about in a bit, but they didn't really go into too much detail on it, so we don't know what kind of communication we'll be able to have. Today on the Wii U, you can't really talk to each other very well, so there's no real need for a microphone and a headset.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
They did mention basically a version of PlayStation's Share, so you can take screenshots. Right. It looked like you could also live stream some of your games and chat with people.
Well, they definitely said that at launch it'll be able to do screenshots, and then video would be coming later.
Okay, that's there was a lot of that tonight. Right there.
There was a lot of that tonight where it was, hey, check this out, and it'll be out soon.
That's so true.
You know, so we actually don't know the extent of the video. You know, like the Xbox One, you can, you know, do the whole, you know, Xbox capture that
thing
and talk to it. It'll capture these little clips, and it's cool stuff, but I don't know, like, exactly how the Nintendo version will work for that. So, and then I guess really the only other thing in the box are actually the wrist straps for the two Joy-Cons. So you get two. And what's cool about this is, unlike the wrist straps for the Wii Remote, these actually attach to the Joy-Cons in a way that provide better grip and shoulder buttons. They're more pronounced shoulder buttons. So when you're using the controller like an old NES controller, you have better shoulder buttons to press, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh yeah, man. I'm a button masher. I'm going to tell you, especially those shoulder buttons, they get the shit kicked out of them. Let's just put it there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And, and it's very Wii-esque the way, you hold these controllers.
Mm.
They spend a lot of time explaining how you hold the controllers and what you do with them. And the ergonomics of it. It feels natural in your hand. They're a lot smaller than I expected.
They are tiny.
They look about 4 inches, no longer any wider than, your phone.
So you got your Android phone here. Which one is that?
Oh, this is the Note, which is a little bit bigger, oversized phone.
Right. So, I mean, I would say that the Joy-Con's probably as tall as your phone.
Right.
You know, not even as wide, though. It's definitely, you know, more narrow. So, they're small.
They're very small. Much smaller than the Wii remotes, I'd say.
In length. Definitely. In width, they look maybe about the same.
Perspective, it's hard to tell from the video, there's no comparison yet.
Well, once we get one, we'll do some comparison shots, because we have tons of those controllers laying around. So if you need a Wii remote, I don't know how I ended up with like 8 of them. I don't know how that happened, but I do. I got a bunch of them.
If I'd ever decide to use my Wii for more than just surfing Netflix, I will let you know.
Well, see, they're compatible with the Wii U, so that's why I kept them
around.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
So, all right, speaking of the Joy-Cons, since we're on that, I kind of want to talk about, for a minute, how many features they actually packed into these tiny little plastic things.
Oh my god, so many buttons.
They each have a joystick, and they each have your 4 normal buttons, which, you know, would be your A, B, X, and Y. They both have shoulder buttons, an L and R shoulder button. One has a home button. The other has the capture button.
Yeah, God.
Both analog sticks can actually press in just like, you know, on Xbox and PlayStation.
Right.
And then on top of that, the one with the home button also has built-in NFC with Amiibo capabilities.
He's losing his shit right now. You have no idea. He loves the Amiibos.
And then to top that off, they still have infrared built into the front of them. So you can actually, it can see you. It knows how close you are. It can tell how large objects are.
It actually registers that. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, they actually showed it can tell the difference between like rock, paper, scissors, which, you know, like it's hardcore.
It's gyroscopic. So that's nice too.
It's got motion controls.
How nice. All of that. They were very, they were so. Man, they were pushing that sensitivity of the vibration.
Yeah,
the
HD rumble.
Right, is what they call it. The HD rumble.
Yeah.
They described it. It was basically the equivalent to moving ice cubes in a glass.
And that you could tell if it was 1, 2, or 3 ice cubes. Now, like,
right.
Now they showed it and everything, and you know it's all a presentation, so it's not, you know, to be taken literally.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm curious exactly what that means. You know, does it feel like it's heavier all of a sudden? Because that doesn't seem possible.
It was a little misleading in my sense, and I know I asked you this while we're watching. I go, are they implying temperature? What are they doing here?
I mean, that would be cool, right? I think they would call it like 4D rumble like that, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, how cool would that be though if you were playing a game and like if you were in like a fire level, the controller got warmer or something? You know, I feel like in the wake of the whole Galaxy Note explosion thing, maybe we don't want to go that route right now. And
No, we want to keep bringing our Switches on the plane. Come on. We can't have that. Yeah, I think it's super exciting just to see how sensitive those vibrations really are, because I can foresee developers really taking advantage of that in some of the scarier games.
Oh, sure.
As you're moving, the vibrations get heavier and heavier and heavier. I think that'd be really cool.
That would be pretty neat. I would like that quite a
bit. Yeah, it'd be pretty awesome. Like, honestly, like, that would be... I think it's a lost opportunity if they don't take advantage of it. They made it seem like they will because, you know, that was one of their big selling points for this.
It does have me a little nervous because, like, you know, the Wii U having the second screen was such a big game changer for a home console. And very few games used it in a non-gimmicky way.
That's good.
You know, like Zombie U did a great job with it. It was your map. It was your knapsack with your inventory. They really leveraged the second screen well. But a game like Mario Kart, which is as first party as it gets for Nintendo, it was like kind of the map and you could see where people were, even though they easily could have put that on the main screen like all the other ones, and you could honk your horn.
Yeah.
Again, something that's been a button before. So, like, it's not really, like, if Nintendo is using it in a gimmicky way, that's not a good sign. So I'm hoping that the Switch stuff is going to be taken a little more seriously. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, he was really enjoying those ice cubes.
He was. But speaking though, like, of the HD Rumble and stuff, one of the reasons they focused on that was they were basically saying that the Switch is the amalgamation of every console Nintendo has ever put out.
Yes.
Finally together in a way where it all worked. And it was cool because they actually went through starting with the Famicom and going all the way up through, including handhelds. They talked about the Game Boy and the 3DS. They are actually, I guess, just the DS,
yeah,
technically. They talked about the GameCube and everything and how they were able to take, you know, comes with two controllers and you can take it on the go and it's got a touch screen and it's got shoulder buttons and, you know, the X, Y, A, B, and you, it has a handle so you can carry it and analog motion controllers. Yeah. First the analog
joystick.
And
yeah.
This finally has all of that in a way that looks like it was supposed to be that way. You know, where it's not, it doesn't feel gimmicky anymore.
It
feels like they designed it that way on purpose because it was ready.
I like that. I personally thought that was probably one of the most, my most favorite parts of the presentation, right?
Yeah.
Cause you're like, you're immediately like, yes, had that. Oh my God, you're right. Yeah. That was super cool. I totally agree with you on that. I think they obviously want to tell people out there, hey, we know what you love about our stuff. We've found a way to make it all work together. And you're still, it's like we're saying, you're still going to get what you like, but we're going to make it a little different, a little better.
Yeah, I think it's an important distinction because, you know, we have the console wars, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand Xbox versus PlayStation, I do, because the similarities are much, there are many more similarities than there are differences. But Nintendo has always been out in left field doing their weird, crazy thing where they're trying to innovate in very unique ways. You know, when we got the PS4 and the Xbox One, I think we all sat around thinking, well, it's going to be a more powerful Xbox. It's going to be a more powerful PlayStation. It'll have 4K and it'll play, you know, right? And, you know, that's exactly what we got. And that's because that's just the progression of technology. You know, the PS3 was Blu-ray, so the PS4 is 4K. Yeah, that's just the next step of evolution.
Right.
You know, whereas Nintendo has always tried to do something weird, like throwing, you know, doing a basically 3D VR type stuff with the Virtual Boy in the 90s, you know, or the GameCube having a giant handle on the back of it so you could take it with you to your friend's house, or the 3DS, or just the original DS, that is, having two screens and one of them's a touch screen, you know. So those things were different. They were things that nobody really thought you needed in a gaming console. And I think that sets them apart, good or bad. It sets them apart from that console war, I think. And the Switch is that. It's the definition of what makes Nintendo different.
True. Yeah. I think that the way you just put that was the best way you could possibly say
that. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, like, I'm inspired. I need to go get more Nintendo stuff.
Now, Nintendo is silly a lot of the time. So, you know, they're calling it the Joy-Con. And so the Joy-Cons, you know, they work as one controller when you attach them to the actual Switch console tablet, or to the grip. But when you split them up so you can play with a friend on some of these games, they actually call it sharing the joy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I laugh.
As cheesy
I smile,
as that is, it's so cool.
It's so cheesy.
That was probably the biggest highlight for me. Because I'd said it last episode, the local co-op is becoming scarce and scarce. What Nintendo just did was mind-blowing. What they did was, well, now no one has an excuse because you can just literally hand them a controller and play right now.
I love that.
You
know, it comes with two controllers. You need to go find
a console, yeah.
When was the last time that a home console in its actual launch box, not in some bundle, came with two controllers?
You know,
I mean,
I can't even think of one.
I think, now maybe I'm wrong, so someone out there, if I'm wrong, let me know. I think it might have been the Super Nintendo.
That would, maybe, and Sega as well, but
maybe
not,
the Segas, yeah.
But that would be it.
Right?
There's literally nothing else.
Because the 64 had one controller.
Right.
Right? The PlayStation had one controller, and the Xbox had one controller.
Yeah.
And then we've been that way ever since. You know, so this is it. The Switch has two immediately in the box.
I mean, that's amazing. For me, and I was getting more at was the fact that you can just play right then and there, like on the little screen if you want to. So if you're on an airplane, and God forbid you ever get someone that's chatty, but if things go well, you ever switch, you can literally hand them a controller and you both can play Mario Kart right there.
That's true.
that is to me is like just revolutionary.
It is really neat, though, that it's still, Nintendo is very much focused on the playing together experience, which I think is really important because a lot of games, especially the big AAA games, have become you sit by yourself and play campaign, right, or you play online against faceless people in multiplayer. The social aspects of video gaming has really gone away. I mean, I miss LAN parties.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when the original Halo was out, my brother's friends and my friends, we'd all get together, we'd bring over other consoles, we'd set up four
and TVs.
Other TVs, right? Yeah. The giant big tube TVs, and we would set up four Xboxes in the basement with four TVs, 16 guys playing Blood Gulch, you know, and people are, you know, trying to watch, you know, screen watch over shoulders and throwing, you know, couch cushions at each other to mess each other up. You know, it was just
good times.
You don't have that now, you know, and it's gone from being a social experience to being a very solo experience. And, you know, I miss the social experience. So I'm really excited that Nintendo is trying to focus on the playing together, playing with people. Take the Switch to your friend's house. They don't have one. Bring it with you.
Right.
You
right.
know? And when we talk about the games, you know, one of the games here is actually pitched as a icebreaker party game. You know, that, when was the last time a console was really trying to do something like that? You know,
a console that gets you laid, that is just the best. The icebreaker. Hey, you know what? Our date is kind of shitty, but, do you want to play some Mario? Just kidding.
That's how you ruin relationships.
No, it's not.
Mario Kart ruins relationships.
I mean, you're kind of right.
You know, I mean, come on. If you hit your wife with a, with a blue turtle shell in the last lap, I mean, I'm just saying, you're sleeping on the couch.
You know what? So that teaches you about people and what their true intentions are. But yeah, that was super cool of them to introduce the game. The way they introduced it was kind of funny. It was a standoff, and basically, it was whoever made the fastest action. It looks like it signals go, and then whoever does the quickest action, because of course it can record those type of movements, but it timed it, and basically it's a quick draw, so it looked really interesting. They called it 1-2 Switch.
Yeah, that's the actual title of the game. It's one of the very few games, at least as we know of right now, that is a launch day game. So tomorrow, or when this is, so let's back up.
Yeah.
January 13th, which is actually the day this podcast really goes out, at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, Nintendo Treehouse is doing a live Switch event in which we're supposed to learn all about the upcoming games. So tonight's presentation from Japan was all about the console, and it talked some about games, but really we'll know more about the actual game lineup after the Treehouse event. So
I mean, they revealed some big game titles today, yeah. And a lot of original ones too that I'm personally excited for, and we'll talk about it. You know what? Let's just go into it now. Ron games.
Okay, sure.
Arms.
Let's do it.
Oh my God, Arms, man! I know it sounds weird. It is literally boxing from a distance. You have literally long arms that you can curve, you can jump, and you're just boxing in an arena that you can bounce off of and you can block. You have specials. It just looks so cool. It's like they took the Wii boxing and they're like, well, how can we make this crazy and over the top? Oh, that's right. We'll give you arms that extend 20, 30 feet that curve.
Well, and like the cool thing about that was you actually play with, you each hold two of the Joy-Cons.
Right.
With no grip. You hold one in each hand. You basically hold them pointed up. And you're boxing with them, kind of like when you'd have the Wii remote and the nunchuck.
Right.
You know, and you can actually play with somebody split screen. Again, there's that whole social aspect. You know, I think that's just so cool that you're able to still do it on the same screen. It's not online. It's not versus, I mean, they have computer characters, yeah, and you can play online, but you and I can get together and bring, you know, you can bring your Joy-Cons over, or I can bring over mine, and we can box it out with these crazy characters
on the same screen with no split. Yeah, that was super, super cool. While we're talking about playing multiplayer, they did announce that they are basically going to have an online support system, very much,
right,
like to the PSN and Xbox Live. So it's going to be free until fall.
Right. It's the longest trial I've ever heard of.
It is a very long trial. I imagine they're probably still working out the bugs.
Right.
How and how much they're going to charge, but it will be a paid subscription, come fall. But there's so many new capabilities though. Now that you're able to play multiplayer, you're also able to do LAN parties as well. Up to eight.
Yeah, which was, it's a wireless LAN party.
Right.
But, which is a little funny, but yeah, you get connecting eight consoles together is pretty interesting. I mean,
it's a lot.
Even the Xbox did four. Which I thought was huge.
So in my head, you think about it like this. So if you had two people per those eight.
That's your 16.
And we're talking 16 people in Mario Kart. That would be amazing.
I mean, but that's what back in the day, and I keep going back to it because I think it's a great example. That's what you could do in the original Halo.
Right.
On Xbox. Four Xboxes, four people on each, 16 people. And, you know, that was really exciting to be able to do together with people you knew and were actually with. So yeah, to be able to do that for Mario Kart, could you imagine the chaos?
Oh, it's so good.
You know, of having a full roster of actual people in the same area.
That sounds like a real party game to me.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to be able to do something like that. That's really cool. One of the other things they had for the online services though was an app. Now, I thought this was really interesting. They kept saying a smart device app. So I assume they mean smartphones and tablets and things of that nature. But basically you could use this app to actually connect with people who have Switches. You can schedule play parties. And you could chat with each other and you could actually like sync up, do different things in the Switch universe from your smartphone. So if, you know, you and your buddies are talking at work or at school or whatever, and you're like, yeah, you know, we should really play whenever, you could boot up the app and, you know, your friends on that, and you can schedule a thing and there you go, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I thought that was very clever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good way where you don't have to build this complicated infrastructure. You're literally making an app to something that people use already.
Mm-hmm.
That's genius.
I mean, there is an Xbox Live app.
Yeah, but what do you do on that app, really?
Not a whole lot. not much. Sometimes I read my messages, you know, if I have any, and I can look at my avatar.
Address him and do whatever you want.
Hey man, he wears a Jurassic Park t-shirt. All right, that thing is awesome.
But I mean, PlayStation has one too, and it's really all I can do is look at my friends list. I can look at people who sent me friend requests, or I can, like you said, just look at my messages. There's not really much. They're pretty limited because they want you to do it on the console, which I understand, but it's just the opposite for Nintendo. They're like, no, we want you to use our app. Use the app. Do things with the app. Schedule stuff with the app. So it's just a really different approach, and that's what I think this whole system is about. The whole Switch is about different, basically switching, you know, your opinion and how you view gaming.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost about just integration with your daily life. I mean, the 3DS line is like that when you have the Street Pass. You know, and it can count your steps, and you can earn coins that way, and you can use those coins in games. You know, for example, you can use coins gained from walking, the steps you get on your 3DS, you can use in A Link Between Worlds, the Zelda game, A Link Between Worlds, to like help you if you get stuck somewhere.
That's awesome.
You know, that you can talk to these ghosts that will give you hints.
Perhaps
they charge you. Ghosts need coins, but
you gotta pay the troll toll.
You know, but like I like that though. It's, you know, okay, I'm having a really hard time. What can I do? I'm gonna take a walk around the block. I'm gonna get some coins. I'm gonna talk to this ghost. I'm gonna bribe him and figure out what's happening.
And perhaps they took that cue from the walking pass, and they decided that was probably some things we need to figure out a way to integrate something like that into the system.
Well, now that Nintendo's doing mobile stuff, you know, they have Miitomo, which is completely social. That's all it really is for you to hang out with your friends and that kind of thing. They've, you know, launched, of course, Super Mario Run on iOS with Android to come. And then kind of, sort of, they have Pokemon Go. That's really not like much Nintendo. It's really the Pokemon company and Niantic. But, you know, they're really pushing mobile. And they want you to be active. They want you to be going out into the real world. And they want you to have access to the Nintendo all the time.
It's genius.
It honestly is a good idea.
It's because now you're not confined to your home anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, playing online might be a little difficult, obviously, but if there's a Wi-Fi connection, you're fine.
Sure, but, you know, I think that's playing the Switch online when you're outside of the house, you know, what are you going to be playing? You're probably going to be in a car, right? So you're going to be playing by yourself or with the person sitting next to you.
Right.
You know, it's not, I don't really expect to do a whole lot more than that in those situations anyway. So I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. So do you want to go back? What are you pointing at?
Well, I figured while we're talking about being mobile and active, the battery life is expected anywhere between 2 and 6 hours. And I think obviously that has to depend on, how heavy you're playing, what you're playing. I imagine Skyrim, which was released. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Not released. Announced.
Announced. Sorry. if you're playing Skyrim, that's very heavy on the system.
Yeah. I mean, they basically said like straight up, he goes, battery life will depend on the game that you're playing.
Absolutely.
But it will be between 2.5 and 6.5 hours. Now, I use a lot of laptops in my day. That's pretty much the range of your average laptop. So that's not terribly shocking. But it is interesting that the range is so much based on the game. I assume you're right. Skyrim, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Will be pretty hardcore. Mario Kart 8? I don't know. Splatoon 2, which we'll talk about in a second? I don't know. But that's a wide range of game time.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, we're talking 4 hours here. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now they did say you can play while it's charging, and that goes for either, you know, while it's in the docking station and it's charging through the AC adapter, or if you're charging through a USB.
By the way, that was also included in the case.
Yes,
in the
AC adapter.
Sorry for us to mention that earlier.
No giant brick, which for me is great because both the Wii and the Wii U had bricks. Not Xbox bricks, but they still had bricks. And so, you know, I like that we're now in a world, as of March 3rd, we're in a world where the big three video game companies no longer have bricks attached to their consoles. So,
to me, it's just a waste of hardware.
It's the future, you know?
I'm looking at his Wii from across the room here. I'm looking right at the brick he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. It's pretty big. I mean, look, I just upgraded the Xbox One S, and the S doesn't have the brick. But the Xbox One, the first release of it, it is gigantic. I mean, you could, like, kill a puma with that thing.
they're just expecting your house to just move in the middle of a lightning storm in an empty field. On top of water.
Especially when the PS4 doesn't have one at all.
No, they haven't had it.
And the PS4,
for a long time.
The box is smaller. The PS4 is a smaller physical form than the Xbox One was. Now the One S is smaller, and the One S doesn't have the brick, so they figured something out. I don't know what
they took a clue. They finally took apart
a PS4 and figured out what to do.
they finally got it.
But yes. But what I thought was interesting is it sounded like that when you're mobile, when you're using it in what they call tablet mode or handheld mode, it has a USB hookup, and you can charge via USB. So there's three modes. There's TV mode, where it's in the docking station.
Right.
There's tablet mode, where you're physically holding it. And then there's handheld, tabletop mode.
Tabletop.
That's where you use the kickstand, and you've taken the Joy-Cons off.
Right.
And then you have handheld mode, which is where you're holding the tablet.
Joy-Con slid on it.
Right.
Which is awesome. I mean, that's so diverse. That is a console that can do literally everything. Let's talk more about the games.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to switch subjects.
No, you're good. You're good. Let's do it. So we talked about 1-2 Switch, which is basically like their new version of Wii Sports. And it's, you know, their Icebreaker Party game. It's a launch day game. It's got a lot of motion controller stuff in it. And one of the big things they were pushing is that a lot of those games, if not the significant majority, you don't spend your time looking at the screen. You spend your time looking at the person you're playing against.
That was a very, very cool feature for me. It's the screen talks, it says go, whatever. But again, they're wanting you to socialize. This is the Icebreaker game that he's talking about. They want you to you know, look in your opponent's eyes, and they want you to play the game. Play the game, enjoy the game, not so necessarily stare at a screen.
It's almost like a divergence from, you know, we've had augmented reality and the big resurgence of VR. And this is almost a sidestep of all that, saying, we can do all the motion stuff that VR can do, but use your imagination for what it all looks like and just talk to the people and play with the people. Rather than strapping a giant thing on your head, you know, which is still cool. It's still pretty cool.
It is.
You know, but again, it's not social, right? And so Nintendo's like, well, we can do that, but let's not do that. Let's focus on the interaction.
It's different. And we'll see how it works, but from what they presented, different looks good.
Yeah, yeah. Then we had ARMS, which we talked about, where it's the weird boxing game. Now that one's not until spring.
Spring.
We don't have an exact date, for that one. So I assume April, May-ish for that. And then I guess we can move on to kind of the bigger titles. So the first one was, this one was surprising to me, and that is Splatoon 2. It's a completely new Splatoon game, which is going to have, you know, all new maps. It's going to have new, designed characters, new weapons, some new gameplay. It's going to be able to use the gyro in the controllers. It'll support the Pro Controller, which is sold separately. And it's coming out this summer, which is really just about 3 years after the first game.
So you would say that's pretty recent.
For Nintendo
recent
stuff.
Recent installment. Yeah.
Since it's not a AAA title where you've got, you know, somebody big doing Call of Duty every year. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, it took off because I personally haven't played Splatoon, but obviously the popularity is there.
I mean, it's one of the very few games that has been out, you know, for basically 2 years on the Wii U that's still the full $60 price. You know, most of those Wii U games have dropped to the $29.99. Even a bunch of select ones are the $19.99 range as the Nintendo Selects titles. But Splatoon's been able to keep strong at $60. So for them to do a sequel like this specifically for the Switch may be a good reason for people to upgrade.
Right.
Now it's a summer release. We don't have a specific date, but it's summer 2017. So again, you know, the console will be out for a little while before that real push.
Talk about the good one. Come on. We're gonna segue. What is the biggest cock tease they had in this whole thing?
What was yours? 'Cause mine might be different.
No, I think we're both on the same. I mean, I was very, very ecstatic about Skyrim, but I think seeing Mario in New York was probably as good as it gets.
It was so crazy. I was like, what the fuck is going on? It was unbelievable.
It was awesome.
So Mario shows up. They show the trailer. Mario is just, he's jumping around cabs. He comes out of a
sewer.
Yeah, like the manhole cover, like he's a Ninja Turtle. And he's jumping off of cab cars. He's, you know, wall jumping up skyscrapers. It was unreal. So it's an open world game. It's called Super Mario Odyssey. Yeah. Which I really like the title. I think it's a cool title.
Yeah. Odyssey sounds like we have a lot more to show you. Like, you know what I mean? World is like, okay, cool. There's a lot to explore. But like Odyssey to me is like, we've got a never ending story here.
Right.
Exactly. I feel like it's ready. I'm excited for it personally. I think from what we saw, some of the maps, gorgeous.
Yeah.
The forest map looked just beautiful. Every detail in the tree, the bark, you can see bark. The colors were beautiful. There were so many levels. What did you think on some of those levels?
I mean, there were some that were very abstract, and it was just colorful and bright and unique. And it's something that I feel you can only get from a Mario game where, yeah, he can jump around on the cab cars, and I'm going to have so much fun pretending to be Spider Mario. But it's the crazy stuff. It's the off-the-wall ridiculousness of the Mario universe that I really love and go back to. And you still have that. I mean, you know, you made the joke that the Bowser's in there, but he kind of looks like Kingpin from the Daredevil movie.
He does. He's wearing a white suit.
He's like the one from the movie, not the Netflix show. Yeah. You know, and, you know, Peach, of course, is still getting captured after all these years. And one of the new things that they showed was Mario can now throw his hat and then jump off of it to get across like big openings.
So freaking cool.
Which is pretty neat. The hat is actually a character.
Yes. What does it have? It has eyes.
It does. And you know, like giant eyes, like in place of the M. He's got giant eyes.
I think it's cool.
It's so different. And I mean, the whole time I'm like, what is going on? This is unbelievable. And then they ruined it by saying holiday 2017.
Oh, I know. I was like, I want to freaking shoot you right now.
There was
holiday season.
Yeah.
We're talking like 9-10 months from where we're at now. No, actually, literally like 9 months from now.
I mean, I imagine if they're saying holiday, they probably mean November.
I know, probably. But that's just terrible.
Because that's what Nintendo releases a lot of stuff in November. But that's 10 months away.
So long.
And that's 7 to 8 months after the launch of the console. I mean, there was a time where you didn't release a Nintendo console without a Mario game. They were even packaged together for the first two consoles.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, by the way. They are not, at least from what we can tell, they are not including any games.
None, which would be, I mean, so the Wii came with Wii Sports.
Right.
The 64 did not come with a game.
It came with Mario Kart.
Depending on the bundle that you bought.
Okay, I see.
There were different versions
of
it.
The one I got was the Mario Kart one. Yeah. So
the reason I wanted to specify is the Wii U has two models. There's a white model that's 8 gigabytes, and then the black model, the deluxe model, it's 32 gigabytes. The black model came with Nintendo Land, but the white model did not.
Interesting.
So Nintendo has played around with this idea before, but this looks like the first time where they're just straight up, it's not coming with anything. But, I mean, you know, it is coming with the grip, it is coming with two of the wrist straps, the docking cord. Station, the HDMI cable, and it comes in at under $300. So, I'm kind of cool with it, because, I mean, how much do you think 1-2 Switch is going to cost, or ARMS is going to cost? Those are probably going to be $20, $30 games.
Yeah.
I mean, if ARMS comes in at $60, I don't think anyone's going to buy that.
So I'm going to buy it
for 60 bucks. I'm not buying it for 60 bucks.
You never know. No, I don't think it's going to be that high either. And again, they haven't released, they haven't said anything about what comes with this free support. So there might be some free games on there as well.
For what?
The online.
Oh, the free trial of the online services?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect from that.
I imagine you're going to be able to download games, because it looked like in one of the previews there was an emulator.
So, yeah, I do want to talk about that. We'll get back to that.
Okay, we'll get to...
That might be a tangent, so we'll circle back to that, I promise.
I see.
I promise. But to your point, I mean, Microsoft and Sony both do free titles monthly if you pay for their online services. The Xbox Live Gold and the PSN Plus. So I expect Nintendo to probably do something like that. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, and they didn't release any pricing on that either. So
No pricing for the online services, no pricing for any of the games.
But they did say it was going to be a subscription. So it's going to be monthly, most likely, or yearly, whatever you want to pay.
Now, they did say that there are over 80 games, 80, currently in development for the Switch. Which is exciting. That's good news.
But, there's a big but there. You didn't say it, but I said it for you.
No, please, go right ahead.
Well, this is I'm sure everyone else is concerned. What do we have to play when the game comes out?
When the console releases? You have 1-2 Switch.
We have 1-2 Switch. And, so it's just me and you, right?
And you also have Zelda Breath of the Wild. Originally slated for spring, it's officially a launch day game, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
If you're not going to have Mario, you better have something good. And Breath of the Wild probably is the best thing they could have possibly had for launch day.
I personally haven't played many of the Zelda games, but holy shit, looking at that trailer, the one that they just showed for this presentation, the world is just unreal.
It's huge.
And it's beautiful.
I mean, the world's like size is like, it's like Skyrim size world.
Right.
Which for Nintendo is very impressive. The graphics look beautiful. The game just looks awesome and exciting.
Do you think that was a tactical move by Nintendo? There was some rumors going around that the release date was going to be more mid-March to end of March. Do you think they may have made an audible at the end and said, well, we need a big launch title?
I mean, I think that the anticipation for Zelda was so high.
Right.
That if you didn't have a big first party title for launch, no one's stepping up to buy it. And Nintendo right now is riding this wave of success recently between Pokemon Sun and Moon, between Pokemon Go, the NES Classic, Super Mario Run.
Right.
These have all been very successful in 2016, especially the second half of 2016.
Well, just releasing that, the new NES.
Yeah, the Classic.
Was crazy.
Yeah. Huge.
That was so, people went nuts over that.
I mean, considering it was only out for 2 weeks in November, it sold over, 200,000 units and then they ran out of them. They probably could have sold twice that number if they had enough in stores. So they're riding this wave of Nintendo is cool for some reason now. Right. I've always believed that, but I seem to be in a minority a lot of the time.
No, Derek, you are special. You are unique and beautiful.
I'm just kidding.
Thing about Nintendo for me is like I like to play serious games, but honestly, like realistically speaking, here Nintendo, I actually enjoy playing those games. Whereas I look at like Battlefield as a job.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's work for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of stressful, but Nintendo, I can pick it up. I can play most of the games on there, like Mario Kart, any day.
And I think that's the replayability is it for me. When I find myself, I don't want to start a new game. I just want to play something that I'm familiar with. I always go back to Nintendo stuff. Sometimes I'll go back to Halo. Sometimes. But I'm not going back to, I just started playing through the Gears of War games. If you listened last week, I just started playing those. I beat the first one. I gotta be honest, I can't imagine I'm ever going to play that one.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It wasn't a bad game, but it doesn't have that interest that Mario Kart has and Donkey Kong Country has. And even, I still play a few times a week on my Game Boy Pocket Tetris DX. Because my original Tetris game broke, and so I had to upgrade to DX. I go back to these old games. I'm still playing the Pokemon games. I've put in over 32 hours into Pokemon Alpha Sapphire.
That's crazy.
That's a huge amount.
That's
of
a
time.
Lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
I think I put 12 or 13 hours in the years.
What
of
is
War.
That? A $30 so game?
35.
Put,
but yeah,
and you've put 30 hours into it. We're spending double that on
over
other games.
32 hours.
That are 8 hours, right?
So it's just.
Yeah, that's insane.
But anyway, so if we look back though at this list of games, now they showed some trailers, but we got really no information. We have no release dates, we have no prices, and in some we don't even have titles, so I can't even really tell you what they are necessarily. Xenoblade 2 is coming to the Switch, which was really
really good,
beautiful.
Yeah.
We've got Fire Emblem Warriors, which had a very quick cinematic. That happened in such a way that was so quick, I thought maybe it was supposed to be part of the Xenoblade 2 trailer.
It was back to back. Seriously, I couldn't tell the difference.
There's a new Atlus game that's still in, quote, early development, so we don't really know anything about that. Sega, something kind of funky happened with the translation on that particular part of the presentation, but Sega's developing something. They had nothing really specific to say about it. I assume they mean a Sonic game. Since they've shown some Sonic footage.
They've shown a few clips.
We, of course, have Skyrim, which had no release date. Even though they talked to the Bethesda guy, and he still had no release date. Nothing.
Todd's son.
No spring, no summer, no holiday, no talk of dates at all.
But that was like, that secret was kind of spoiled from the get-go, because they, in their initial trailer, when Switch ever even became a thought, they had shown the people playing Skyrim.
Yeah.
You can tell with Skyrim, it wasn't actually, it didn't blatantly say it, but it was a guy holding a bow, and he was shooting at a dragon.
Yeah, it looked like Skyrim.
It's Skyrim. Yeah.
But because of that, they've had all this time now to come up with at least a range for when it'll come out.
Right.
If Super Mario Odyssey, if they know that's coming out in holiday 2017, and we can't get a date for Skyrim, why can't we get that date?
That's
now,
the thing, I wish.
Of course, at the Treehouse event that's happening at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on the day this comes out, which is January 13th, is all about the games, and so maybe they were saving all these release dates.
I hope.
For that event. We'll have to wait and see. Now, what was interesting is EA showed up. Now, EA has, they get slammed a lot. in the gaming community, and, you know, rightfully so for a lot of reasons. I'm certainly not going to defend them. But they are bringing a custom-built Switch version of FIFA sometime in 2017.
Looks good. I mean, that's exciting when the fact that you said custom-built. Okay, that means we're not getting another game we've played before. We're getting a different game made to work specifically for the Switch. So yeah. I mean, the mechanics are going to be really nice.
It's not just a port, which, you know, we've seen a lot of Wii U ports and Wii ports that are done very poorly because the companies just don't want to put the money into developing it. This sounded different. It sounded like they wanted to leverage all the motion controls and the way the Joy-Con works and things like that. So, you know, I'm not a big soccer guy from a video game perspective.
And neither am I.
But I'm curious.
The FIFA games are really fun, though. Like, I live by it. FIFA World Cup, it particularly is like, and that was like 2015, best one.
Okay.
Best one, hands down. So much fun. Enough about FIFA. What else we got?
They did show a thumbnail for, when they showed a bunch of thumbnails for different games, a thumbnail for NBA 2K18.
Yeah.
So there will be some basketball showing up on the Switch at some unknown point. And then there were some Dragon Quest games. So Dragon Quest 10 and 11 are coming to the Switch in Japan. And Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 are coming to the Switch as well. Now, I know what you're thinking. If 10 and 11 are coming to Japan, does that mean you can't get it in the States? So John, tell us, why is it not a big deal that Dragon Quest 10 and 11 are only being released in Japan?
Well, aside from them already being released, they...
On non-Switch consoles.
Right. They...
Drum roll, please.
Are not going to be region locked.
And they being, not the games, but the Switch itself.
The Switch itself will not be region locked, which
How
means you
cool
will get
is that?
You will get the games you've been trying to get that you can't get because you don't have Japanese Game Boys.
And I can't read Japanese. I mean, I can't read Japanese. That's a personal problem, but... No, for years, for people who don't know, you know, region locking has been a big deal for Nintendo because, you know, especially for Pokemon games and a ton of JRPGs, there are Japanese-only games, and you need a Japanese console to play them, and you need to be able to read Japanese. And, you know, probably the language barrier will still be a problem. But, you know, this is just really exciting stuff that the Switch will not be region locked. So that means that if you want a particular JRPG that's released for the Switch, you can get it. And, you know, you might need to have to read Japanese, but you can get the game at least. And that's really exciting. So I want to point that out. And then let's circle back to the Street Fighter clip that we saw, because you can't tease me with Street Fighter and then not say anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, they just gave us a snippet. It was not even really, it was passing. It was like barely even there.
Like, I don't even know if you can call it a clip. It wasn't
right?
It was like a GIF.
Basically. I mean, what looked like Ryu, and now by looking at the website, they actually have the website up, and they have a few games listed, and it looks like they're calling this Street Fighter.
So yeah, so this is actually Ultra Street Fighter 2, and it looks like, from the looks of it, this is not a virtual console game. This is like a straight up Switch game.
It looks pretty awesome, actually. From the screenshots, they have a few screen caps on here, and
so you can actually head
really
out.
Really cool.
You can. We'll actually put a list up on our website, but there's a Switch site up that's got some games, and it's Ultra Street Fighter 2: The Final Challengers. It doesn't have a date right now, but it looks like that's gonna be a thing. So
that's exciting.
It's really
personally
exciting.
That's exciting.
But it's also a little concerning because I wanted to see the virtual console. I wanted to see the virtual console from the Wii and the Wii U brought over to the Switch with new games, with more games from newer games from the Wii and the Wii U brought over to the Switch so I can play Donkey Kong Country and Mario Galaxy and old games like Street Fighter on the Switch in, you know, tabletop mode and whatever mode I want. And so to see the Ultra Street Fighter 2 be like a standalone release is a little bit concerning because I really wanted it to be a virtual console kind of thing. And I apologize if you guys can hear the clicking in here because we're looking through some of the stuff that they have on the website. And you know, it's basically set as Nintendo Switch as the platform, and that's really all that it says. We don't really know, is this going to be released as a cartridge game, which, keep in mind, all of the Switch games are cartridge games.
Which brings up the question, do you think there will be an adapter, or do you think DS games will be, like I said, in that adapter that'll be able to be played on this system?
Here's why I'm going to say no. I wish.
Oh, I know. That would be backwards compatibility achieved, you know? And that's kind of what you're talking about with the virtual console.
But the problem is that DS games, almost all of them, require two screens.
They utilize the second screen, but the screen is larger, so...
It is a larger screen.
I mean, I'm just spitballing ideas here.
But here's the other thing. If you look at the way the schematics are set up and the images that we have, the game card that they're calling a game card, not a cartridge. The game card, the way it pops in, has a door that closes behind it, which is something that the Game Boys and the DSs have never had. There's never been a door that closes the game in. And so I'm looking at the way the cartridge looks in this picture. It doesn't look exactly the same. It certainly doesn't have the notch that the 3D games for the 3DS have, this extra notch, so you can't accidentally put a 3DS game in older DS. So I don't think that's going to happen, but the virtual console is really what they can use to take care of all of this. You know, from the original Nintendo up through most of the Wii and Wii U games, you can bring these to the Switch. I know that there's some limitations because of Wii U's dual screen and some of the Wii's specific motion stuff may not be completely compatible with the Switch's motion. But you can't tell me that, you know, the Mario Galaxy games won't run on the Switch.
Right, absolutely.
Or that the virtual console games from the Super Nintendo won't run on the Switch. I feel like it's a better console for them, actually.
See, the weird part is, to a degree, minus the eStore, to a degree, they've all been kind of backwards compatible. Like, GameCube was able to be played on the Wii.
Until the later
Wii U
releases.
Played Wii. I mean, mm-hmm. and GameCube, right?
No, so the Wii U does not play GameCube discs. But the Wii U has a Wii emulator built into it. So it essentially has a Wii environment that you can install and launch. So when I bought my Wii U, I migrated my Wii into it. And it basically wiped my Wii. But it doesn't play the mini discs that the GameCube has. Gotcha. And I think that was the big downfall for the GameCube and why we still don't have that type of backwards compatibility is the disc size, not the games themselves.
It was so small. Yeah.
They didn't want to build another, you know, device player that could handle the smaller discs because there's some extra cost in that. But from a virtual console perspective, you know, there's no reason that Super Smash Bros. Melee can't work on the Switch.
Absolutely.
Mario Sunshine can't work on the Switch. So I want to see Virtual Console. I want to see that big time because that will get me to put aside my Wii U and put aside, you know, my old Game Boy and Super Nintendo and actually focus on the Switch if that's what they really want me to do.
Well, that's a huge deal. Backwards compatibility has always been a big thing for players, especially me. Obviously, Xbox found a way around it. That was genius. I give them many o credit for that.
It's hardcore, though, the way the Xbox handles it, because anytime you're playing a 360 game on an Xbox One, you're actually launching an entire Xbox 360 emulator that runs that game. And so it's actually a storage issue.
Right.
Because each game requires its own emulator. So each game file size is much larger than it would have been on the 360, because it has to also have a 360 emulation built into it. It works, and it's cool, and I use it quite a bit. I mean, I'm using it for Gears of War. I've used it for Stick of Truth and some others.
Right.
So, you know, it works, but you also have, you know, 500 gigs, a terabyte, maybe even 2 terabytes, depending on which version of the Xbox One you have. And now that the site is up and we can see the details, we know that the Switch is 32 gigs of internal memory.
This is a micro SD card we're talking about here.
That's to expand the
storage. Oh, I'm sorry.
So
yes,
it's got 32 gigs of internal memory, which is the exact same as the deluxe edition of the Wii U, but it does have a micro SDXC slot. So you can expand it with a micro, not a standard, which, you know, I appreciate that we're moving away from the standard SD card. To a certain extent.
However,
they're tiny. I mean, the micros are so small.
Yes.
So when you're mobile, they're easy to lose.
I've had 64 gigabyte micro SDs.
Sure.
But honestly, I'm kind of with you on that. Why are we using micro SDs?
I mean, it's probably a store. It's a size thing because it's supposed to be mobile, and I get it. You can buy 128 gigabyte, you know, micros, and you know, the site here doesn't say what the max is. You know, a lot of Android phones claim a 64 gig max. So you know, we'll see, but it's an important thing to be aware of because it's not a one-to-one comparison. The Xbox One and the PS4 use discs and force you to install the game onto the console's hard drive to play it.
Right.
So you need 500 gigs, a terabyte to store all of that stuff because the truth is, you know, the Halo collection, the Halo Remaster collection is like 50 some gigs.
Yeah.
You know, you install that on a regular Xbox One, that's 10% of your storage gone from one set of games. You know, and on a PC, I mean, you know, Overwatch is huge on PC. But these games on the Switch anyway are cartridge games. They're coming on these cards. You don't install them. You just play them off the card.
Playing straight from the card, yeah.
So the internal storage is nowhere near as important unless they do a virtual console thing. But I've also, on my Wii U and my Wii, I never ran out of space. I just used SD cards and I was fine. So I'm not really worried about that. But I don't, it is important to be aware that when you look at it, you go, well, the Switch is only 32 gigs and the Xbox is a terabyte. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, but it's not required. I get what you're saying. The games are directly played, so that's a good point. What else do we find out about the hardware?
So, big thing for the actual screen tablet. So, when you're playing this in tabletop mode or handheld mode and you're using the Switch, what they're calling the Switch console, which is really just the tablet portion. It's a 6.2-inch multi-touch capacitive touchscreen, and it has a max resolution of 1280 by 720. Now, that is HD. It's not, quote, full HD, which is 1080, and it's certainly not 4K or Ultra HD, but it is a 6.2-inch screen. And from someone who has talked to a lot of people about 4K and has done a lot of my homework on 4K, when you're looking at screen sizes that small, the human eye can only differentiate pixels of certain sizes.
Right.
I don't think a 720 screen is going to be a big deal, number one. Number two, I think that the battery life would have been atrocious if we had a full HD or 4K screen. I think it would have been awful. But on top of that, Nintendo games, while they are beautiful in 1080p, Mario Kart 8 is beautiful on the Wii U in 1080p. I'm playing it on a 55-inch TV. I'm not playing it on a 6.2-inch tablet.
Well, that would be necessarily, you'd be connecting this to the TV, so...
The TV will play 1080p.
So that was my next question. Yeah.
So it's full HD capabilities. The screen is only 720. So when you're mobile, you're 720. When you plug it into a TV, you're whatever that TV is up to 1080. I don't think there's going to be any 4K games anytime soon. Now it also does talk a little bit about the battery life.
Yeah, we roughly said earlier was between two and a half to 6.5.
Yeah.
So they actually give a specification and say, as example, The Legend of Zelda, we're talking about playing roughly for 3 hours on a single charge.
Right. Now it does say it can last for more than 6 hours. I assume that's like if you're just doing something pretty low entry,
right.
Maybe Street Fighter or something like that, you can get 6 hours. But for Breath of the Wild, you're looking at three. Now, I think Breath of the Wild is probably going to be a good example of something that's going to push the console a bit. You know, that and Skyrim, I would expect the same amount of battery life out of both of those. So, you know, I don't think 3 hours is bad. It's certainly not what you'd get out of your 3DS, but it's a bigger screen and it's more powerful games. The graphics are much more complex on something like that. So, you know, that's what we got there. So we're kind of over time. Let's finish up by just mentioning a couple of other games that we saw on the site, that are slated to come out. So, we've got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is basically not really a remaster, but expanded updated version of Mario Kart 8, but for the Switch. It'll have, you know, new content, new tracks and things like that. That is slated for April 28th, So almost 2 months after the console launches, still spring. And for those of you who haven't played Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U, it's brilliant. It might be the best Mario Kart game they've made to date. They remastered a bunch of old tracks. They've added some really cool functionality, tons of new racers. They've expanded the number of racers who can race together. You know, because if you go back to Mario Kart 64 and Super Mario Kart, yeah, you only had eight players.
Right.
You know, and now it's they really expanded it up to 16, which is really cool.
And like I said, with that tabletop, if we could make that right. working, how awesome that would be.
Get eight Switches together and have 16 people playing Mario Kart.
That would be pretty awesome.
Then they also have a Super Bomberman R, which has a March release, not a specific day, but a March release. And I'm a huge Bomberman fan.
Really?
I love Bomberman, especially the older, like, top down looking Bomberman games. Like just Super Bomberman, for example. So I'm pumped. I'm really excited to see that. I'm curious again if this is going to be like Street Fighter, where it's, you know, it's more of an old school game. But you know, will it be on a cartridge or will it be an eShop?
See, that's the big question.
Because they're keeping the eShop. I mean, right. They're still keeping that. That's their thing. So it might be an eShop title, like you know, Shovel Knight was initially, and the Steam World games were initially. And then the other one I wanted to point out is Minecraft. It's TBD, no release date, but it's specifically Minecraft Switch Edition. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was interesting because before the Switch, Nintendo was actually working on their own version of a Minecraft-style game for the Wii U. And now we're actually getting Minecraft, and I think that that's great because Minecraft is so well known as a brand. I think it's more important that they get the brand of Minecraft than just a 8-bit style building game.
Right. Yeah. Well, its merchandising is huge on it as well. I mean, kids.
Yeah.
I see kids with Minecraft swords and stuff all the time, backpacks. So, yeah, to get a homemade title like that, that's a big deal.
Well, and imagine integrating Nintendo IP into Minecraft. You know, having things, you know.
How cool would it be to have your Momiito, or how do you say those again?
The Miitomos?
How cool would
it be? Yeah, you could bring your Miitomo into Minecraft, or your Mii. Yeah. Yeah, bringing your Mii into Minecraft would be cool. I mean, you can in Mario Kart, you can race as your Mii.
Right,
you
right.
know, which is pretty cool. And, yeah, but imagine, like, you know, your sword in Minecraft is Zelda's sword, or Link's sword.
That would be so cool.
You know, or you could get Link's shield, or you can get Mario's hat, or, you know, maybe, you know, you could get Donkey Kong's tie, and, you know, different types of things you could do. I think they could have a lot of fun with that. So, but I think that's it. I'm looking over my notes, trying to see if there's anything else.
Well, my biggest concern, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking this while we're talking about the subject, and what is, other than Zelda, what is going to make me buy this console on release date? Why should I buy it? What am I going to be able to play immediately, right then and there?
Yeah, I mean, that's still a huge question mark. Breath of the Wild is a big deal. It's very anticipated. But right now, it's one of two games to have an official launch day release. And the other one is 1-2 Switch, which looks fun and cute, but it's basically the new Wii Sports. And I don't think anybody was going to buy the Wii because of Wii Sports.
I hope not.
I played the hell out of it.
I mean, I love it, but you know, it's not the reason I bought.
It's not a $300 game,
no,
you know?
No.
But, you know, so basically on launch day, you got to spend $300 for the console and probably $60 for Breath of the Wild. And is that it? Are you stuck until Mario Kart 8 Deluxe comes out?
And that's what I was actually hoping that would be a closer date, end of March or something. It's kind of disappointing that they pushed it out that far.
Yeah, I mean, it is disappointing. And to see that the Super Mario Odyssey is not until sometime.
Oh my God, that's so upsetting. Holiday season.
I mean, that's so far off. You know, maybe it's October, maybe, but
who knows?
It's really November.
Yeah,
we're looking at a November release.
That's just that's just so upsetting. I mean, they had so much footage from the game. It's just kind of weird that they pushed it so far. So
yeah, I mean, but the same goes for Skyrim.
I kind of understand that because, but they, it's, they, that was a big secret, number one.
Wow.
And I'm not sure how big the development process is. They have a good set of footage, but I feel like there's a lot more to it for that game.
I mean, maybe there is. I mean, looking at the Switch, if you were to pretend that it didn't have any motion controls at all, the button configuration is not really that different from an Xbox, you know?
But we're talking, like, Skyrim doesn't have, like, I imagine they're going to be working that motion, like the bow. We're probably going to be using that with the controllers.
Maybe they are, but they didn't have to do that.
It would be a missed opportunity if they didn't.
I mean, maybe. I think for a lot of people, one of the reasons the Wii missed it with gamers, and I say that with a grain of salt because I consider myself to be a gamer and I'm a big supporter of the Wii. But if you take a game like Madden 09, which was one of the ones with Brett Favre on the cover, was very specific for the Wii. You could use the motion controls to throw, and how, you know, hard and fast you flicked your wrist determined on what kind of pass it was. Was it, you know, just a bullet? Was it a lob? You know, that kind of thing. And you could use the motion controls to draw your own routes, to audible at the line of scrimmage, things you could never do on Xbox or PlayStation.
That's genius.
Really cool, right? But at the same time, a lot of people who were those AAA gamers thought it was gimmicky and childish to have to stand up and flick your arms around to play a Madden game. And I think that that's fair. I think it's fair to say that. I think that you should have the choice.
And I think that's what it looks like me for Skyrim.
Yeah? You think they're going to go both ways?
Absolutely.
Okay.
When you have the Joy-Cons attached to the tablet, at what point can you draw a bow? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be able to do it then. But
I imagine they're going to have that options.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool if they did. I know that some of these games can't be available in all three modes, TV, tabletop, and handheld, because a game like 1-2 Switch and ARMS won't really work in handheld mode.
No, not at all.
Because you have to hold the Joy-Cons.
Right.
Separate from the console, because you have to move your arms. You know, so while it's got three modes you can play in, some games are going to limit you to two of those modes.
Well, yeah, that's going to be the nature of the beast, honestly. Yeah.
But I'm just curious about it. You know, since Skyrim is also on PC, there's no reason that from a technical perspective they can't get it running on this hardware. So I'm curious why we don't have any kind of date. Because if they said holiday 2017, then at least I would know that, you know, they've got that deadline.
Right.
It's got the same development cycle that the Mario game does, but with nothing. You know, it's really hard to say.
And we may know tomorrow.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm not being optimistic because I feel like they would have said it because they had the Bethesda guy, the physical guy.
Yeah, he was there.
Talking about it. And I feel like he would have said it then if it was anytime soon. So
maybe.
Well, I guess we're getting close here. So
yeah,
just real quick, what do you feel? How are your impressions of this so far?
I'm going to give this presentation the letter grade of a B. And the reason I'm going to give it a letter grade of a B is because the console is fantastic. The controllers are awesome. The design is uniquely Nintendo. The tone, everything about it is true to the heart Nintendo's mission. And I love that. I've always supported it, and I'm really excited about that. But aside from Breath of the Wild, there really isn't much of a reason for me to rush out and get the console because I am a Wii U owner and I have Mario Kart 8. And even 2 months into the console, that's still the next big game to come out. And while, yeah, at the end of the day, I'll probably pick all that up because I'm a fanboy, the average person probably isn't going to rush out to do that because people did that for the Wii U. The Wii U's acceptance rate of Mario Kart 8 is through the roof, you know. 80-some percent, I forget the exact number, of Wii U owners have Mario Kart 8. You know, it's an unheard of number for a ratio like that. And so a lot of Wii U owners aren't going to quickly upgrade to the Switch. So they're going to be bringing on new Nintendo people who didn't have the Wii U and still want Nintendo and haven't spent all their money on an Xbox One or a PS4. So you need launch titles. It's important.
Absolutely.
You know, it's why I waited on the Wii U. I camped out for the Wii, but I waited 9 months to pick up a Wii U. And I was hesitant on the Xbox One and the PS4 because their launch windows weren't that exciting. A lot of their games were delayed as well. So I need a good launch list.
I agree with you. Like, other than Zelda, which, I mean, let's be honest, we're going to play it at some point. It's just, I expected more. Specifically, a Mario game, or whether it was Mario Kart or Mario Odyssey. Unfortunately, they want to push that further back, but I was expecting a Mario game.
Now, I will say this. I'm gonna put this guess out here. So at 9:30 Eastern on Friday, which is today, if you're listening to the podcast on the day it came out, is the Treehouse thing, and they're gonna talk about all the games. I'm going to bet that there is going to be some other first party game, and by that I mean, you know, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong, Star Fox, something uniquely Nintendo set for March.
I believe that, because we can't get everything on the first day. They want you to watch the next one, so I get that. But Derek, just for me to wrap up, everything you just said, I agree 100%. No, seriously, the B, I would totally give it a B, because I did not buy the Wii U. My parents did fortunately get me a Wii for Christmas, and it was great, but I have not played Nintendo other than my DS since the Wii, and that's been a long time, so this is a little disappointing to me, because I want to be a Nintendo fan. I want to play games, like you said. I own a PS4. I own a PC. It's just, I have nothing to play, is what it sounds like to me. So there's not really anything pulling me in, the person who hasn't played Nintendo for a while. I mean, I'm going to play Zelda, but I need a little bit more than Zelda right now. So that's my overall opinion. Overall, the system is great. Just what are you offering is all I'm asking.
Yeah, so that's us, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll put out some more information throughout the week as we get it about launch titles and things of that nature. Join us next week for episode 3. I believe we're going to be talking mobile gaming, which is smartphone and tablet gaming, not handheld gaming. There is a difference, and we'll talk about that probably as well. If you missed our first episode, go check that out. We are the Gamer Heroes Podcast, part of the Heroes Podcast Network. Check us out at heroespodcasts.com, at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, and check us out everywhere that you can. We have another podcast called Screen Heroes that comes out every Wednesday and live streams Tuesday nights on Twitch. So go check that out. I'm one of the hosts there as well. We focus on TV and movies. And this week, actually, coming up, we're going to be pitching our own Marvel MCU Phase 4 film.
Oh, interesting.
So stay tuned for that kind of goodness. So thanks, everybody. We'll catch you guys next week. See ya.